to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Thursday morning, October 15 of 2020. Andrew Mays with you for the next 25 minutes as we run you through the latest in the world of racing and sport. Big day at Caulfield yesterday. What about this in the Blue Sapphire? Who said a three-horse race couldn't be a ripple? What a win by Ranting over the top.
At the 450, it's Hanseatic, the outside of Anders. Ranting comes around the turn a little bit wider. So it's Anders on the inside, stoked up. Hanseatic, Curry went for the whip, a neck away. Then Ranting drops off a length and a quarter away, but still coming. Anders and Hanseatic stride for stride at the 200 metres. A real race here. Anders and Hanseatic stride for stride. Anders is fighting hard. Hanseatic won't go away. And Ranting lifting over the top will beat them both. Ranting got up to win from Hanseatic and Anders. A three-horse race, a three-horse contest. It was a beauty.
Bang. We will hear from Troy Courses a little later in the Breakfast. But meanwhile, the build-up continues to the preliminary final tomorrow between the Tigers and Port Adelaide. It's here from Damien Hardwick. Speaking about getting in Tom Lynch's way.
You know, he was, I think, by far the best player on the ground on the weekend, and, you know, that aggression and exertion was part of it. You know, what he brings to the side is the ability to get the ball to ground, but, you know, there's a massive contest there, I think, where young Patton end up, you know, getting his head split. That's what Tom brings. He brings aggression. He brings a guy that, you know, if someone wants to take his space, good luck.
What about Todd Marshall? Will he play for the Power? Here's Michael Voss, assistant coach.
Oh, well, until he gets through, we really don't know. But no, we're confident. Certainly all the information we've got and how he's gone over the last, you know, the last week and a half, he's presented really well. So, I mean, it's a really last tick off for us. So, you know, it'll be a pretty willing session out there. So you get a good test, gets through it. I would have thought it'd be, you know, we'd be well and truly confirmed for sure.
All the build-up coming to a huge weekend of racing and sport. Let's get stuck into it now on the Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
The Breakfast Club returns after six this morning. Plenty to get through on the show. Plenty of footy, plenty of racing, and plenty of everything in between. The early mail before 7 o'clock as we try and get you a winner on your Thursday morning. After seven, Brad Johnson, Western Bulldogs legend, to join the guys. Glenn McFarlane will be along from the Herald Sun with the latest trade news. Simone McInnes from the Melbourne Vixens. She is the coach ahead of the Super Netball Grand Final on the weekend. Camden McIntosh from the Tigers after 8 o'clock this morning. And Ryan Hinchcliffe, Storm assistant coach, after McIntosh as well. So we've got it all covered for you here on the Breakfast Club. Make sure you stay tuned all through the morning. 8:30, of course, Racing Pulse with Michael Fulgate. All the fallout to the barrier draw from the Caulfield Cup last night. Some interesting, well, a bit more luck not going the Freeman Sables way, with Warning drawing wide, Anthony Van Dyke's drawing very wide. So looking forward to hearing from all the key players after 8:30. And then don't forget, 10:30, RSN Central with Gareth Hall. As always, looking forward to Gators' game plan on a Thursday. Let's start with the racing, though, from yesterday. Big day at Caulfield, and we will start with Troy Corstens after Ranting came over the top in the three-horse race to win the Blue Sapphire Stakes yesterday. And a fantastic performance is what he had to say to racing.com.
Yeah, it's surreal, actually. It's really good that when they started to drop him off, I thought he's going to be a bit disappointing, but just took that time to really balance up, and I love the way he ran through the line.
Tell us honestly, what were you thinking of the 600 when you're in a three-horse field and your jockey's three deep?
How do you do that? Oh, that was quite amazing. I thought, geez, he's had a really tough run. Just before the corner, I thought he was still going quite good. And just, again, just lacked that, you know, that really good smarts to come around the corner and then put him away. But he's wound up and he's done in the end.
Off to the Coolmore now?
Oh, my word, yeah. I've got two really nice horses going to the Coolmore, and he's going to be a very valuable colt one day, and hopefully we can run really well in the Coolmore as well.
You've got a pretty handy filly in the stable in Swat's That. Have you ever lined the two of them up and galloped them at Flemington?
Never, and I never will either. So,
but are they both heading then to the same race?
Of course they are, yeah. They'll both go to the Coolmore, but, you know, I can sit back and say, don't make me choose between my children, and we won't find out until Derby Day.
We can just see that by the smile on your face. That must bring a lot of satisfaction to see this horse break his maiden today.
It is, Brent. It's so much hard work goes in with these horses, and great group of owners in him. And you get a colt that looks as good as him. Wait till you see him come back. He's just an outstanding looking colt. To be able to win these races, it's what the Australian market's all about. And we try and build their value, and that's why you don't go back to a maiden, because it does nothing for your value, whereas a race like that just bumps you.
Troy Causton speaking yesterday. The other highlight yesterday was Nonconformist winning for Graham Begg. It was actually quite emotional after the victory. Let's hear from the trainer immediately after the win on racing.com.
Good watch. He gave him perfect ride and presented at the right time. And, it was just really good to get the horse back on track, because he had a bit of a hiccup along the way. And a lot of people sort of bagged him after his last start, and it's just good to get him back on a good track. And it was a right race for him today, with the weight concession he sort of got for being his rating. So it was good, 55 kilos, it was a big benefit.
So you got a bit of a soft spot for this horse, Graham?
Oh, I like him a lot.
Fair enough. Too. Where do you go from here?
We'll make our mind up. There's a couple of races at Flemington. I've got in the back of my mind probably a race at the Cantala. Bit of a freshen up back to the mile. He certainly needed to win today to be able to do that, to get his rating points up. So we'll see what happens.
Do you feel he just doesn't stay beyond 2,000 metres at this point in time, or do you feel he could be really effective at that mile?
Oh, look, I think coming back to mile is probably a good recipe, but I think next year, like, he missed his opportunity this time, and we were playing catch up. As he said, the two goes at 2,000, and he's won both times, and won two good races. So, obviously, I think there's no problem in running a mile and a half. But, you've got to have the right circumstances and get him on the right leg.
Graham Begg there speaking yesterday. We'll hear a little bit more from the build-up to the Everest later on in the show. Meanwhile, last night was the Caulfield Cup barrier draw. Anthony Van Dyke, the $5 second elect, drew barrier 21. So not good news for Aidan O'Brien's star, who Hugh Bowman will ride on Saturday. Barrier 21 in the Caulfield Cup. Some of the other big runners, Very Elegant, drew barrier 11. Master of Wine, the $9 third favourite, drew barrier 7. And a couple of the other fancies in the market. Sophie Tongue for Chris Waller drawing barrier number 5. But the big news out of last night, Anthony Van Dyke, barrier 21. So a tough task for the international raider. Finch also drawing barrier 12. So Chris Waller done pretty well there with his couple of runners on Saturday in the Stella Artois Caulfield Cup. Very much looking forward to the action from Caulfield on the weekend. Let's head to the footy world now. Looking forward to this action tomorrow night as well. What an entree it is to Caulfield Cup Day. Damien Hardwick speaking here on the build-up to the preliminary final and what it's been like inside Tigerland in the Hub.
As a coach, you'll treat it as any other game, but the fact of the matter is the media scrutiny, there's only four sides left, it automatically amps the game. So our players will be aware or have a heightened awareness about the game at hand. But yeah, the fact of the matter is the game stays the same. There seems to be, well, obviously there's something big hanging on the end of it, but the reality is once the ball's bounced, our guys have just got to concentrate on the process and concentrate on what they can control. If we play the game too early, if we try to think about outcome, we're not going to play our best footy, so we'll just concentrate on what we can do and how we can control it. I'll consistently state this, that the very best sides will play the hardest brand of footy, and we're going to overstep the mark sometimes. Do I want us to be giving away stupid free kicks or 50-metre penalties? No, I don't. And the players understand that. They accept responsibility. We've got to get better in that part of the game. So we'll continue to improve it. We'll continue to learn from it. We've just got to not put ourselves in that situation. But, yeah, the game's going to be pretty volatile. We'll get out of a hostile environment against a very, very good opposition. So we want to play on the edge.
Damien Hardwick speaking yesterday. Let's go to Port Adelaide now with Michael Voss, the assistant coach there, talking about the challenge of Richmond. He'll have to travel to Adelaide to take on the Power.
We would expect nothing else from Richmond. They're a seasoned group. They've been here before. They've got a style that they've committed to for a better part of 4 years that's been really effective for them. So, for us, we've evolved in that space, and we've also become really reliable in that area, and you know, we expect that there's going to be a few, you know, fiery clash, and the contest will be really strong. But you know, that's what finals are all about, and you know, we'll get our turn, but we also know that we're going to have to absorb at times as well. You know, there's been moments in games where, you know, we've lost ascendancy in games, but we've been able to hold strong because we've maintained some intensity on the ball, even though we're not getting our hands on it first. And, you know, we've been in positions where we've lost territory on the field, but we've hung on to defend. And really, they're the questions that get asked of you because you're playing against the best teams, and they're going to have moments where they'll get runs. And, you know, how we deny and minimise in those times and then get our chance and maximise at the other end when we get our turn will be really important. But yeah, it's certainly built over time, and you know, we're in a great space. I mean, there'd be an argument to suggest that, you know, we don't have the experience for this particular game, but when you stack it up against the body of work that we've been able to, you know, get over the course of this year, and the real belief that we've got out of, you know, big moments or big momentum swings this year, there's enough body of work for the guys to feel quite confident in those scenarios.
To the other prelim final on the weekend as well, with Geelong taking on Brisbane, let's head now to Jared Berry. He grew up a Cat supporter, the young star for the Brisbane Lions, and this weekend his team's got the opportunity, essentially, to end the career of Gary Ablett. What did he have to say about that?
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to end his career, but yeah, he's an absolute champion of the game. I grew up, my old man was a mad Geelong supporter. Grew up watching him in all those grand finals, and Gary through his whole career, and yeah, he's one of those guys that you put up in the lights and pinch yourself all the time when you play against him. But at the end of the day, he's another one of the blokes out in the field, and he's a guy that's going to stop us getting to where we want. So we're going to go through him.
A little bit of trade news now, and it involves Geelong as well. Not often you hear this. Brian Cook, the CEO of the Cats, all in on Geelong's pursuit of Jeremy Cameron. Interesting to hear these comments on 6PR in Perth yesterday.
We're in the market in big time at the moment for Jeremy Cameron, and he's struggling with making a decision, but he's a loyal bloke, and it's being shown and demonstrated by him. We're trying big time for that one.
So we'll wait and see what happens there. Cats clearly going all in for the big superstar from GWS. Meanwhile, Eddie Betts has been a superstar for a while now. Still doesn't really have too much clarity on his future at the Blues. Here he was speaking on AFL 360 last night.
Yeah, we're working on that. You know, I'm keen to go on. So the club and management are working on that as we speak. So, yeah, look like it may go on, so... We'll wait and see. No, well, you know, I'm keen to go on, and, you know, my role will look a bit different next year, more so about development, especially in these young small forwards that we got down there, and helping Cameron Bruce out down there with our forward line as well. So we're working on that at the moment as we speak. I enjoy helping out the younger kids, especially the younger small forwards. You know, we've got Matty Owies down there, Josh Honey, Zach Fisher, that are playing really some good footy, so... you know, I go in and do the tapes with those boys and with Cameron Bruce as well. And, yeah, I really, you know, get enjoyment out of seeing those guys succeed. This year has obviously been one of the hardest years, you know, 2020 has been thrown upside down. And, you know, all I wanted to do is go out and just play football and try to play some good football for the Carlton Footy Club. And, you know, looking back on the season, you know, I was a bit inconsistent, a bit disappointed the way that it turned out individually for myself. But as a collective, you know, there's some learnings and some real positives that come out of 2020 as well. I guess you got to believe in yourself. You just got to believe. And, you know, there's a lot of critics out there that say you're too old, you passed the game. As long as I believe in myself, my teammates believe in me and the coaching staff, you know, I'll still play until my body says I can't play no more.
More to come on that, I'm sure, in the next couple of weeks. Let's head to the Supercars now. It is their grand final, essentially, on the weekend, although the title has already been decided with Scott McLaughlin securing it last week. Let's head to Jamie Wincup now. He doesn't quite have as much on the line this week as perhaps he might have otherwise. However, he says the mountain can still be a way to make amends for what has been a bit of a disappointing 2020.
Yeah, there's 23 cars that aren't fighting for the championship this weekend. Me being one, of course, I was P2, so I was as close as anyone to bring the championship here. And I was just trying to keep within 300 points. I thought if we could be within 300 points here, then there's certainly a chance because anything can happen around this place. But it wasn't to be. We give it everything. Scotty and his crew were too quick. But if this you know, the biggest trophy of the year is gone, but the second biggest trophy is still up for grabs, and it's almost as big as the first, you know. So real opportunity for us this weekend to make amends for 2020.
Time for a break at 11 to 6 on your Thursday morning. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on a bit of cricket, rugby and A-League news, plus the rest of the build-up to footy's preliminary finals and the Caulfield Cup and Everest on the weekend.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Welcome back to the show at 8 to 6 on your Thursday morning. Don't forget the Breakfast Club returns after the 6 o'clock news with Half and Whitey. Let's head to the cricketing world now. Brendan Julian speaking yesterday on Fox Sports regarding a couple of holes in the Australian Test side amidst, again, that perennial question about Tim Payne's captaincy and whether he should be in the side.
I don't think Tim Payne, in my personal opinion, is under any pressure. I think we've got bigger things to sort out, and I think that top order is something we've got to sort out between 1 and 6. I think there's probably about 3 guys to lock themselves in, and that would be, you know, David Warner, Stephen Smith and Marnus Labuschagne. Outside that, you know, I think there are spaces that are open. What happens, though, if the top 6 fail, all of a sudden puts pressure on the keeper, doesn't it, coming in at number 7. So that's what we don't want. I mean, we want a strong Test lineup. I don't think he's under pressure. I would be keeping him there for another 2 more years because I think he's the right guy to sort of captain the side at the moment. I can't see any other captain coming in. I wouldn't want Pat Cummins coming in, being a bowler and being captain. I don't think they'll go back to Stephen Smith as well, and Warner can't do it. So I don't see anyone putting their hand up to take that position from Tim Payne. Look, this spot from Tim Payne will probably be talked about all the time, but in my opinion, I wouldn't even be looking at it for at least probably 1 or 2 seasons.
To rugby now, the second Bledisloe Cup game coming up on Sunday. Hopefully it's as good as the first. Prop here, Alan Alalata, speaking yesterday about his position in the side, trying to get back on the park after starting on the bench last week.
I know that if I put my best foot forward, it's going to be the best outcome for the team. And it's also going to challenge Nello as well, who's also been playing some great footy. And I think we're very fortunate to have some great depth at tight end. You know, we even have Jermaine Ainsley, who's been training unbelievable. Same as Bonifamo Silly, who's in the squad as well. So those two have been pushing us hard, putting their hand up for selection. So, mate, it's tough, but I think, you know, the more we can give those headaches to the coaches, you know, the better it is for us.
Huge uncertainty in the A-League regarding the future of the Newcastle Jets, who are still looking for a new owner after their Chinese businessman who owns the club at the moment wants to sell. Now, Carl Robinson, who was their coach and had signed for 3 years, got out of there. He left, and today he's going to be unveiled as the Western Sydney Wanderers coach after they departed with Jean-Paul Zimmerini a couple of days ago. So it's an extraordinary situation in the A-League at the moment. Here's Laurie McKenna on the problems for Newcastle after losing their coach to one of the other teams.
Well, the contingency at the moment is to get a new owner, so we can't really put... We're not starting training until about a week Monday. Obviously, we are very hopeful that we'll get an owner very, very soon. And then, obviously, that decision will be up to them and working with myself to bring in the appropriate person if Carl chooses to leave. As you said, he came in and done a fantastic job. And he'll be a big miss to the club. But, you know, Carl's got aspirations of being a top coach, and at the moment, probably with uncertainty at Newcastle Jets, that's why he would consider probably leaving, because we've done everything right by Carl and Kenny and the coaching staff. And as we've done with the players through these hard times, through COVID and this ownership situation that we've got.
An amazing situation there in the A-League. That'll be one to follow over the next couple of days. Tell you what, the future of the Newcastle Jets hangs in the balance at the moment. Let's head back to the footy world in the build-up to tomorrow night's preliminary final. Richmond, of course, taking on Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval. Damien Hardwick here on the ruck battle, which will be one of the keys tomorrow. Will they go in with Marbir Chol, who didn't get selected last week?
Yeah, well, they're both tall boys. You know, they're both 200 centimetres, the Port Adelaide boys. So, look, it's probably, I think, less likely than more likely at this stage, but you know, we're pretty happy with how Dave went about it. We're obviously going to lose the hit-outs in most of those situations, but around the ground we probably feel we get some benefit. So those situations or those scenarios will be weighed up in a match committee this afternoon. You can get by, but the reality is it's a big, you know, we sort of went in a little bit with that setup in the first final with just Marbs and Nang, but Marbs played predominantly as a forward, so it was a little bit different from that point of view, and we probably in hindsight would have changed the setup. So we think we do like the look of the second ruck. It provides us with some sort of, you know, backup and allows Nang to play probably less game time where he's more dynamic. So those are the things we'll weigh up.
Now to the second preliminary final with Matthew Knights, Geelong assistant here, talking about training under lights in preparation for their match against Brisbane.
We tend to have once a month, even back at GMHBA, we have a night session. So they're not new to us. We tend to train at night quite a bit. So we've had a good mix here. We've had day sessions, but we've trained the last 2 weeks at night. We had a really great session last week. It was really combative and the boys really fizzed up. I'd expect the same tonight. There's no use holding back this time of the year. The boys will really go at it tonight. They'll be quite physical and quite aggressive with each other. And it's a good training session to have leading into a final.
He also spoke about Patrick Dangerfield's role. We've seen him play a lot more time forward this season. He is the Geelong assistant.
Oh, if you're asking me, I'll say midfield every day of the week. But we've been fortunate enough to have him that he can split his time in both spots. Obviously, he's very accomplished in both areas, and we're very lucky to have a player like Patrick that's got that flexibility. So, there's no doubt he'll be in both parts of the ground this week. But he started forward last week, did a wonderful job, and let's hope he can just win some contests and get us excited. Yeah, have a holistic discussion around what's best for the team, as well as what you put forward for your midfield group, or Corey Enright would put forward through his forward group. So, we have those discussions, and we usually come up to an end result that we're pretty happy with. And then Scotty will make the final call. That's usually what happens. We throw our views and our opinions forward, then Scotty makes the final call on where he starts. Depending on the matchups, but also it depends on the way the game's going too. And, I think, as I said, we're fortunate that Pat's got the flexibility to do both. And the way the game's going and the way he's playing in both spots will he'll probably play a pretty big factor in where he plays most percentage-wise. We don't really have a percentage breakdown of where he plays. We just sort of work through that match night, depending on how the game's going.
And let's finish with Chris Waller in the build-up to the Everest on the weekend. Nature Strip, now $4.20 favourite.
I guess it's a help to them. They'll be able to see where we are. I guess all eyes will be on Nature Strip, making sure that they're not too far out of our sights. So, look, being around the favoured runners is always an advantage, I guess, similar to a swimming race where the middle lanes are always an advantage to be around the best qualified horses. But whether they can stay with him with his high cruising speed's another story. You don't want to be getting out of your comfort zone.
It's going to be a fascinating contest on Saturday. What a day of racing and sport we've got coming up for you. It's all covered here this morning as well on RSN. Keep it locked. Don't go anywhere. The Breakfast Club Racing Pulse on RSN Central taking you all through the morning until the first. Going to be a busy Thursday. Stay tuned. 6 o'clock news up next.